with the Lutz family. The neighbors were a big part of our lives. You know, we didn't go to movies. We didn't do a lot of outside activities unless it was church or neighbors. And the Kirk families and the Yoakum families were close by, and we spent a lot of time with them. In later years, the group that she hung out with after Dad passed was Pauline Kirk, Mike Walters, and Colleen Welch. And they did a lot of card playing. It always amazed me. Sometimes they'd start at 2 in the afternoon, and it'd be 7, 8 o'clock at night when they'd leave. And so Mother, obviously, she'd say, "I missed my Wheel of Fortune." So that was a part of her life. Mom moved to assisted living a year ago. And between the COVID issues and Mother being in and out of the hospital a lot, there wasn't a lot of time for anyone to get to share with Mom other than me as the partial caregiver and taxi driver and all that. So we were able we could go down to the activities room, couldn't we, guys? And Mom would sit outside one window, and the kids and their mommy and daddy would be on the outside. And sometimes we'd have to, when it was colder, we couldn't open the windows. We'd use phones to communicate, as you've seen on TV with people and dealing with COVID. So it was really hard. It was hard not being able to see family like she wanted to towards the end. There was one tribute that was online that I looked at this morning, and I don't know this gentleman, David Hayes from Ziering, but he said he was in Dad's old fogies group that would go out once a week or so for breakfast. And he said that he didn't tell me or say how Dad did that, but somehow he expressed himself in such a way that he said, Dad adored your mom. And I thought that was really special that he said that. Because Dad, you know, my parents didn't show a lot of mushy-gushy when I was a kid. I mean, Dad was too busy in the field. Mom was too busy with everything else. And that was just extra special that Dad in later years had time to share how great a person Mom was. So I guess that's just a little insight into my mom. I'm sure a lot of you have stories to tell. The last thing I'd like to say that I think is very, very special, we're in the process now of this was even before Mom became ill this last time, of selling the house. And the young man who's going to be purchasing it is Cole Gilmore. I guess that's as long as everything goes through the way I hope it does. I have a lot of work to do yet. But at any rate, when Cole was a young boy, he and his sister would come down. Their mom would drive them down, and they would trick-or-treat at Mom's house. And there's a picture of them standing in front of a Christmas tree. I don't know if it's Mom's Christmas tree or their Christmas tree, but I just thought, oh, how appropriate that somebody who, and you know, he said he had fond feelings of being at Mom's house and probably the treats that she had on the table for him. So life goes on, and sometimes things just fall into place that are more than appropriate. Thank you.
There we go. My brother Paul wasn't able to be here today, but he typed up something that he wanted me to read for you guys. Having been away on the other side of the world for a good portion of my childhood and then living on the other side of the country for the rest of my life has left me with a limited and small glimpse into the life of my grandma. But there are a few things that I know for sure. Grandma loved her family. It was very apparent by the level of attention that she paid to her family, as in her and Grandpa meeting me as close as they could to the airport gate and when I would be disembarking, and they'd always have these sunbeaming smiles for us. She created an atmosphere of peace and comfort in her home, which was warm and welcoming for each visitor. I loved her excellent home-cooked meals for her applesauce and her amazing sweet treats. No matter how much time passed between phone calls or visits, you could still feel the love that she had for you on the other end. She had an exceedingly generous heart, and if there was ever anything that those she loved needed, she would find a way to make it happen or give a helpful advice about how to go about getting it. She cared about her community and friends. At church, she would spend countless hours helping those in need. She supported fellow churchgoers as best she could, and she could be counted on to do the same for her fellow neighbors. Grandma was an incredible homemaker, a loving grandma, and a wonderful caregiver to those around her. We love her dearly, and she will be sorely missed.
So I am the favorite granddaughter. Oh, wait, I mean, I'm the only granddaughter. It took me a little while to realize that when my grandpa would say that to me, but I thought that was kind of fun. My brother lives in South Africa, and he was also not able to be here since his love, and he wanted me to read something as well before I share some thoughts. Hello from across the globe. Despite the circumstances of being so far away from my family, I'm truly grateful to be able to celebrate the life of my grandmother, Gladys Lane. I would like to share a little story about Grandma's cat she called Missy. I suppose it's not fair to call her Grandma's cat because a wild farm cat doesn't really belong to anyone. Missy was the last in a long line of barn cats that would come and go. Some got sick, some moved on, and very few stayed for the long haul. Missy was different. She seemed to live forever in the barn all by her lonesome. Grandma made sure she fed her bright and early every morning. Sometimes she was at the door and sometimes she wasn't. She would go get her food eventually, depending on how much commotion there was in the house or if there were visitors. She was never allowed in the house. Grandpa's rules. But when Grandpa passed away 4 years ago, Grandma gradually decided to bend the rules just a little bit. Maybe loneliness, maybe a little boredom, maybe something monumental in a barn cat's life. Whatever it was, she started leaving the door open to see how Missy reacted. It was warm inside. It always smelled nice from Grandma's cooking. Why not give it a try and go in? Next thing you know, Missy's moving about the warm house with a full belly. She'd stop for a scratch from Grandma or rub up against Grandpa's old boots that she left out for her. They were right by the door where he would leave them after a hard day's work. When Missy was ready to go back outside, she would wait patiently by the door. Grandma always felt a little guilty, like Grandpa wouldn't fully approve. Fast forward a few months later, and she's sitting on guest's laps, purring like a motorboat, and frantically butting her head up against your hand the moment you stop petting her. I honestly never dreamed that something like this would ever be possible. A wild cat that lives alone outside amongst the raccoons and rodents can find love and comfort in someone's lap in the twilight of its years. God works in beautiful, magical ways if you open your door and welcome others with love, compassion, and comfort. Thank you, Grandma, for opening your door and welcoming so many into your life with love, compassion, and comfort. You are forever imprinted on my heart. Love, Wade. So when I was thinking about what I wanted to share, something just kept jumping out at me. What would be a suitable tribute to such a wonderful woman? You've heard some stories, fun and silly. But there's one powerful memory that came back to me time and time again, and that's Grandma's hands. Her small, mighty, steady, amazingly soft grandma hands. They're not only a memory for me now, but a powerful metaphor for how she lived her life and how I want to live my life. Just one of the amazing things about her, even in her death, she made me want to be a better person. With a lifetime as a farmer's wife, you would not imagine someone with soft hands. But I will never forget the last few precious days I got to spend with her and holding her hand, feeling her soft skin, loving her perfect wrinkles. I know that doesn't make any sense, but they were perfect, perfect wrinkles that could tell every story of her life. And what a story. Growing up as one of 11 kids, I can only imagine you would spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to fend for yourself. But as one of the oldest, you also learn how to keep calm in the chaos, steady your hand, and work the hard work to get things done when your family needed you. Grandma's hands did just that. From day one until the very last day, taking care of those she loved with the gifts God gave her. Farming, gardening, cooking, mothering, loving, hugging, holding, comforting, those hands were never idle. They were her gifts. Sowing seeds of a garden, sewing stitches on quilts or embroidering towels, keeping sharp with her puzzles, sharing love and care in her letters and cards. I've been talking a lot lately with my kids about the letters Grandma used to send me. I still have a box of them. I can't quite get myself to open them yet, but I know I'll treasure them my whole life. I went to Philadelphia for college and stayed for about 20 years. And she would send me letters. Sometimes every week I would get a letter, letting me know what she and Grandpa were up to, how the weather was, what friends had visited that week. With her beautiful grandma hands, her handwriting was beautiful. Her love was poured out in those letters. I hope she knew how much they filled me with light, especially during dark days when she probably didn't even know how much I needed it. There were Grandma's hands, holding me up, loving me despite myself. Grandma's hands were creations, creating creations for everyone else. Another favorite was her cooking. We've all heard a little bit about that already. I love watching her cook, helping her cook, and in the last years, enjoying her giggle as my children tried to help her cook, which usually meant flour all over everywhere on the floor, but she didn't seem to mind. My favorite was her breads and rolls and noodles and pies. I can see her beautiful grandma hands kneading the dough, flouring the board just right, and always knowing just how much without a recipe. Grandma's hands were her channel to God. It's how she showed us all her love and his love with such small, unassuming hands. I can see the scars, the sunspots from the garden, the wrinkles from years of work. But the most amazing thing and something I got to share with her last days was how amazingly soft they were. A hard life full of working with your hands, 88 years as a farmer's wife with the softest hands like they'd never touched the dirt. How can that be? I can only understand this divinely as a way of God showing us that when we keep our hearts in the right place, when we love unconditionally, when we give more than we get, when we forgive again and again and again, and want for others more than we want for ourselves, our hearts will stay soft, and we will end our days with the most precious, silky, soft grandma hands as a reminder of where we're going. What a perfect metaphor for this beautiful life, grandma's hands. I'd like to close with a poem that I found. This is one dedicated to Madison Jackson. My two greatest loves and great-grandma's sweetest little treasures. I really loved watching her play with you two. Her inner child bubbling up on the floor. Her beautiful smile and giggles right along with you. Her beautiful grandma hands playing with you and hugging you. Loving you with all she had to give. It's called Walking with Grandma. I like walking with Grandma. Her steps are short like mine. She doesn't say, now hurry up. She always takes her time. I like to walk with Grandma. Her eyes see things like mine do. Wee pebble bright, a funny cloud, half-hidden drops of dew. Most people have to hurry. They do not stop to see. I'm glad that God made Grandma unrushed and young like me. Grandma, thank you so much for showing me how I want to live, unrushed, but hardworking, taking care of others and reflecting God's love through tenderness and softness.
I'm a late addition to the family. In fall of 99, Linda and I decided to get married. When she went to tell her parents, she told them that she was going to marry me. Gladys looked at John and asked him if he was okay with that. She wasn't sure about me. But John said, Linda's old enough to make up her own mind. And so we got married. And she accepted me into the family as if I had always been there, all the love that she gave everyone else. Growing up, my family always loved to play cards. I found out that the Lane family played the same card game that we did. There was only one little difference. We played for money. So I am very competitive. You know, I love the fellowship while we're playing, but I've got to win. Gladys learned that pretty soon. And even though I won many times, there was a little glint in her eye every time she could set me. And she did it with love. They did so much for us. While Linda and I were still working, you know, we would talk about something we wanted to do at the house. I always got off work before Linda, and there was one day we had talked about this big evergreen bush we were going to take out. I got home from work one day, and John and Gladys were just finishing up. They'd taken it out while we were at work. You know, we never intended for that, but they were always doing things for people. They did things for us, and so much love. She was a wonderful woman.
I can't say enough. I met Grandma about 3 months into our relationship on somebody's first birthday. And when I walked in, at first, I called Grandma and Grandpa Mr. and Mrs. Lane. I had been without grandparents for 10 years. And both of them looked at me and very quickly said, my name is Grandma and my name is Grandpa. It was as if they knew before we knew. Grandma, we've said many times, we want to live like her. Selfless, loving, caring, giving. If she had and we needed, she was quick to give. As Mom has said, why do you need to win the lottery? What are you going to do with all of that? Something Grandma told her time and time again. But she's right. When I look in this room and I know who else watching us right now, we have won the lottery. And I think Grandma knew that. We don't need the money. We've got each other. She was a wonderful woman who will guide us even now that she's gone. She'll be with us. She'll love us. And she's going to watch over each of us. And I just want to say thank you all for being here.
I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day comes, when I find myself standing inside, I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
A chance to share anything if they wanted to. So there's a microphone in the back there. Just take your time, and if you have something you feel like sharing or anything about Gladys, or feel free to do so.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing, hallelujah.
tied you to the kitchen chair. She broke your throne and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
There is likely nothing I can tell you about Gladys Lane that you don't already know. So just sit there while I tell you what you already know. 5.5 years ago, when I first came to Bangor Liberty Friends, John and Gladys were one of the first people to shake my hand and welcome me to the church. And really, if I'm honest, it's impossible for me to think of Gladys without also thinking of Johnny. They seemed to be the most perfectly matched couple I had ever met. Like John, the most important thing to Gladys was family. She beamed like the sun when she talked about her family. It was like she grew a foot taller and that much wider simply because of the pride and love she felt for her family. Now, it's easy to say that because what parent isn't proud of their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren? But there was more to it than that with Gladys. Gladys was that rare bird who shone with pride when she talked about her spouse also. To me, it was a remarkable thing to witness. Her face would light up, and it was like she was getting ready to burst when she talked about John. That might be a testament to the person that John Lane was, but it's as much a testament about Gladys. Yes, there was pride in a spouse, but it was this all-consuming love and devotion that she displayed that saw the best in a man. And that same devotion and love carried over to the rest of the family, but it also defined many of the relationships she had outside of her family. You couldn't get Gladys to say something cross about someone else. She always saw the good. Even when you had to look for a while to find the good. In so many ways, Gladys Lane embodied one characteristic that is sorely lacking in the world today. Gladys Lane had class. It was impossible not to like Gladys. She cared about others, and it showed. 2 years ago, she was helping with our vacation Bible school in July. She loved the kids. She loved watching them. She loved listening to them just play. I try to think of something to say about Gladys where she didn't quite hit the mark, where she wasn't quite all that, but I couldn't do it. Gladys preached a sermon her whole life, a sermon of love and devotion, not only to her family, but to her Savior as well. I can't tell you more about Gladys Lane that you don't already know. But Gladys would want me to tell you about something else anyway. Gladys would want you to know what she knew, what she accepted so many years ago. That because of the victory of Christ, death for Gladys was a departure for home and means being in the presence of the Lord as well as in the presence of other believing loved ones. In 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." The Greek word that's used for departure, that's translated as departure, is analusis, which is this nautical term that's used for a ship lifting its anchor and pulling away and setting sail. It's also used in a military way of an army breaking camp and getting ready to move on. And it was used as a way of describing someone freed from their chains of bondage. Do you see? This for the Christian is what death is. It's setting sail. It's breaking camp. It's being freed from this life so we can go home. It's the conclusion of one journey to start another one. The anchor is weighed and we set sail for that golden shore of the blessed presence of God. Have you never been away from home and then got on a train or a plane, and as the time to depart approached, you experienced this warm feeling and the thought, "I'm going home"? This explains what death is like for the believer. It's a going home experience. In John 14, verses 1 through 3, it reads, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." In 2 Corinthians 5, he talks about, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Heaven is our eternal home. Our Lord is there. Our friends and loved ones in Christ are there. There is no sin nor sinful nature there to cause unhappiness. Death for the believer is not this venture into the unknown or a strange or alien atmosphere. It's going home to the place that we were designed for, to live in eternity in the presence of God. Our victory in Christ means that at death, we are ushered into the Lord's presence, which brings unspeakable joy. In this heavenly home, there won't be sorrow or tears or pain that we have here. And certainly, there is no death there. The believer there experiences perfect happiness and all the joys which attend being in the presence of our Creator. When thinking of the glories of heaven and being at home with the Lord, the Apostle Paul wrote, "I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, or to abide here." So you can see we should receive a great deal of comfort and joy if we think about what death really means to the departed believer in Christ. Our victory in Christ also assures that the believer will one day experience a glorious resurrection and a glorified body like that of Christ. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Paul said, "For our manner of life is in heaven, from where we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." This life we live is so beset by ailing and painfully sick bodies, but our future body will know no such problems. The Word of God assures us that the victory accomplished for us by Jesus Christ means a glorious eternal inheritance, an inheritance which is incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, which is reserved in heaven for those who are kept by the power of God through faith in the Lord Jesus. This means that our work on earth is never forgotten, and that the labors of believers will follow them through eternity. So the Apostle Paul concludes the resurrection chapter with these words. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." And finally, we find further comfort in knowing that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. There are no accidents with God. His timing is perfect. We might not see that perfection as it's happening, but he works all things together for the good, for the one taken and for those who are left. When a believer is called home, it's because God's purpose for that believer are finished here. It's because in God's love and wisdom, he wants that believer with him in glory. The apostle also wrote, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor in any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The awful pity is that when one dies and departs without faith in Christ, and I only hope that this service, which causes us all to face the realities of death and what lies beyond, will cause you, if you have never done so, to do what Gladys Lane did and to trust in Jesus Christ, to consider him. John Lane would often start a conversation. I probably told you this before, but I'm going to tell you it again. You remember those days, right? I hope when you leave here, you have John and Gladys Lane in your head repeating that over and over and sharing the good news of their Savior, Jesus Christ, with you. I hope this causes us all to reflect on our own time on this earth. The psalmist exclaimed, "Show me, O Lord, my days, or my life's end, and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it." Then in Psalm 90, verse 12, in view of this temporality of life, the psalmist wrote, "So teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days, or teach us to make the most of our days. Teach us to love our families unconditionally, helping us to wring every bit of good out of the time we have here on earth. That is, that we may redeem the time that we have, and through the knowledge and application of God's truth in this life, we may glorify him and live for him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly and gracious Father, we I mean, we mourn today because of our loss, but we are thankful for Gladys and the time we had, time she had to impact our lives. Help us to look and see that example that she lived throughout her life of caring for people, of loving people who couldn't do anything for her. Help us to be able to look back and see Gladys and the impact she made on our lives. And know and remember the joy and not the sorrow we feel now. Help us to walk out of here rejoicing. Rejoicing in the fact that we had time with Gladys. And that we can go on and attempt to have the same impact on other people's lives that she had on ours. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege. Oh, everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. And oh, what needless pain. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, have we trials and temptations. Oh, is there trouble anywhere? Oh, we should never be discouraged. Oh, just take it to the Lord in prayer. Find a friend so faithful, oh, who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Oh, precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. 'Cause in His arms He'll take and shield you. Thou wilt find the solace there. Get to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
I want to thank everybody for coming today. I ask that you please join me in prayer. Heavenly and gracious Father, thank you for today and a time and a place to come and worship you and to remember your child, Gladys Lane. Lord, we just ask that you continue to work on our hearts and help us deal with the grief we feel at our loss, and to replace that grief with joy and a sense of peace and understanding. And the memory of Gladys and her effect on our lives. Help us to be the people you've chosen us to be and to be willing to share your good news with those we come in contact with. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Slow boat to China, all to myself alone. Get you and keep you in my arms evermore. Leave all your lovelies weeping on the faraway shore. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Out on a briny with a moon big and